I'm already blaming Warner Brothers for rebooting Space Jam, so they're already on my shit list a little bit.
Yeah, but we've been complaining about that for... I've been complaining about that for years.
Yeah, yeah. Don't touch it. Sorry. I would have been okay if they wanted to do another sports things with the Looney Tunes. Don't make it basketball.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Everyone loves basketball.
But why don't you make it be football and put in Tom Brady?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Fuck Tom Brady. Here's the thing, though. I know because it's like such an American sport, football would make sense, but I'm like, we can't do football because it's not universally loved. You would have to do soccer.
No, that's true.
And it's like not loved in America. It depends on your audience. So basketball makes sense.
You needed the one sport that would make sense for everyone. For an international audience, yeah, you're right.
And of course, it's gonna be LeBron because LeBron is the current GOAT.
He's the big name now. Yeah. Yeah. To the point where, like, I literally, when I was in the Philippines, like, 2 or 3 years back, there was a whole court painted for LeBron James. Like, a mural of his face on the court.
No.
I'm not joking. I wish I took a picture of the damn thing, because I was like, this is a thing. Holy shit. Welcome, everyone, to the Movie Masochist Podcast, where two friends try to find the fun in painful films. My name is Joby.
Hey, I'm Kim.
And we're really not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely not.
For the sake of that, this is not a painful film. Holy shit.
Can I just say I am so surprised?
Right?
See, but here's the thing, though. We kind of said last week, though, that the bar is set so low.
I'm kind of thinking about that, too. There is a part of me is thinking, is the Snyder Cut actually really this good? Or do we think it's this good because the other one was so bad?
Yeah.
I'm honestly still leaning towards the former, where I'm like, this is just a really good movie.
I don't know where this lands in it, but part of me kind of wishes it was a miniseries. Like, they already broke it up into parts, and they're nearly equal in length, and we are, like, living in streamer world. So I'm like, this really could have worked if it was a miniseries versus an entire film.
Yes and no. So sending it out in a miniseries wouldn't be that bad, but two reasons why I think it's good this way. One, I feel like where they ended each part wasn't strong enough to be like, this is the end of an episode and we're gonna move on to the next. You know, like there wasn't like a big cliffhanger. There wasn't really a big moment to really be like, oh shit, I need to watch the next part. It was really just a continuous story. It was interesting, though, that they broke it up the way they did within the 8 things, including the prologue and epilogue.
Mm, yeah.
At the same time, I appreciate the fact that they gave this whole thing in one shot, because I would have been pissed if I had to wait weekly for a new part. Fuck that.
Yeah, but I feel like that's you every time when it comes to, like, series.
Oh, for sure.
Even with, like, Mando. Like, those were, like, nearly hour-long episodes, and I'm like, I just want to binge it. But I feel like for something like this, I kind of would have wanted it, like, piecemeal.
Nah, hard no. I just want it all in one shot. I don't care. Because even for me, if they gave us an entire series in one clip, like they do on Netflix, I'd probably just sit there for an entire day and watch the whole thing.
Mm.
I'd still sit there for 4 hours. Maybe it'll be easier to, like, take those pauses, but it's still easy to pause this midway, like, at the end of a part, and just pause and go off. It wasn't that bad.
Nah, I think it's weird. Because I think I would have much rather it, like, hard stops, because I didn't like pausing, like, in the middle of a part and then being like, oh, how much do I have left before I actually am, like, done with the episode? Like, I don't know. I kind of wish it was a miniseries, a little bit more.
Okay. I mean, to each their own. I do not agree. I'm glad I got that 4-hour block.
Too much dedication.
Although I was a little upset that, like, I paused for dinner, but I didn't pause at the end of a part.
Mm.
I paused after a big moment, so I'm like, okay, this is a good spot to take a break. I did not know the time breakdown for each part. There was literally just one more scene, and then the next part started. I'm like, I could have waited 5 minutes. It's not a big
deal. You messed
up. Damn it. It was literally a 5-minute scene, and I would have been okay, but taking the break did not ruin the viewing experience. I ended up actually rewinding a couple times, like pausing, rewinding a few scenes, especially in the very beginning, just to see if I missed something.
Oh, interesting.
And literally every time I didn't.
I think overall it was an entertaining film. I'm like bittersweet at the ending, though. Like, totally.
Mm, as am I.
Totally, like, it's like I'm pissed because he gave us that, but at the same time, like, I appreciate that he gave us that. Like, knowing that we were supposed to get, like, what, two more Justice Leagues?
I don't know. Granted, we still possibly could get that.
No, we're not.
Because they're...
Zack Snyder is done. He's not part
of
it. Is
he? Yeah. He said he's done.
I'm fairly certain because they couldn't give him his film, he's done.
But now that it's out...
It doesn't matter. I think they're rebooting, like, Batman.
Oh, they are, because we're Rob Pattinson. You're right.
No, yeah, because right. Robert Pattinson. So, like, we're not getting it. So, like, again, the ending is so bittersweet.
So, because the thing is, there is now a new hashtag. I saw someone post it, like one of my buddies. No. I was half tempted to bring him on for the episode, but the way that we had it set up, I'm like, let's not bring in a brand new person into the mix. But he posted a thing where it said, hashtag release the Snyderverse or something like that. So it was basically saying, we got the Snyder cut. We're happy now. Give us the rest of what we freaking want. You know? And I feel like they really should.
But it's also, honestly, it has to do with also contracts with everyone else. Because are they still contracted? I feel like Ben Affleck is no longer going to be a part of it.
Yeah, he's not. I think Henry Cavill is at the end of his, if not already done.
They have to give money. They have to give him like a shit ton of money for it to work.
But to get into this one.
Oh my God.
I'm not gonna lie. It felt really good. The fact that I literally have two bad points. And it's kind of conjoined, but the entire rest of the thing, it's all good. Like, I have so much good on this. I really do.
So I gave up doing good and bad points. Because, like, at one point, I was just like, I don't know what I'm writing anymore.
So the thing is, for me, like, I ended up just taking down notes of, like, stuff that I noticed that they really changed. Pretty much all of those changes were really good. And they just kind of landed in that section of my notes. It really just looks like I did a timeline and I basically just wrote a synopsis of this movie. But everything they did, everything they changed was great.
Yeah.
Except they took out one of my favorite scenes because that was a Whedon thing. But that's fine. You didn't need that scene at that point. So we're good. I don't care.
I realize that I have a lot of good points, but they're all just like against all of our bad points from the first episode.
Which is completely fine. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here. So for this episode, we are not doing the three good, three bad like we normally would with any other movie. What we're doing now, the fact that we have another version of the same movie, we're just comparing and contrasting the two. So we're going to see if they fixed all of our bad points. We're going to chime in with a couple good points. And maybe if we have a bad point for the Snyder Cut, we're going to toss that in there too.
I unfortunately have two bad points. Did you say you also have two bad points?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because the other one's just kind of like an asterisk where like it was not the best moment from the first movie that was still there. So it was still in my head.
Okay.
It just stuck out a little bit more this time for some reason.
Okay.
But do you want to start with that? Or do you want to start with how this whole thing broke down? Like our bad points from last time?
I don't actually remember all of our bad points from last time.
Oh, see, I went back and wrote down my bad points before I started.
Oh, wait, actually, wait, hold on. I don't remember what bad points I actually talked about. Hold on.
So off the top of my head, bad point number one for you was all the intros were really disjointed.
Okay, that is the number one thing I was gonna say.
Number two was Batman wasn't really necessary.
Okay.
And I don't remember number three.
Hold on. It's always like one of the funny ones that I say that you weren't expecting. No one wants to do anything and or be on the same team.
That, yes.
Okay.
So there was nothing that brought the team together.
Oh, okay, that's what it is. Okay.
That was the third. Okay, there we go. Good. We remember the third.
Oh my
Didn't take
God.
Too long. Excellent. So my three were Steppenwolf's story and like his whole plot and scheme. It was kind of bullshit. The whole group wasn't really important at the end. It was just Cyborg and Superman and the Russian family.
Yeah.
Fuck those people. And I'm just going to go right off the jump. Number three. The Russian family was gone.
Oh my God.
That whole thing. Like, oh, he set up his giant home base in a defunct nuclear town. Like, no one lives there anymore.
Thank
it is
God.
Abandoned. You solved the problem right there. So, good job, Zack Snyder.
So, when they introduced that town in Russia, I was like, oh my God, Joby, one of our least favorite parts of Justice League is gone.
It's been solved. Oh my goodness.
Just omitted.
I gotta say, so like, those might be my big three moments, but you know my thing. Throughout all these movies, the logistical problems are enormous.
Oh yeah.
This movie did such a good job at fixing plot holes. I barely had anything bad to talk about.
See, you say that and that's one of my bad points.
What? Wait, that they explain too much?
No. There's a logistical problem.
Oh, what? Oh, I'm curious now. I'm curious what that is, if it was an oversight on my part. Okay, wonderful. So let's get through our former bad points.
Okay, so my former bad point, the big one, was that truly, the way they introduced people being very disjointed, wow, the magic of editing in this film. Jesus Christ! This is amazing! The flow of this film was significantly better. I loved, like, the introduction of Diana and then moving towards Themyscira. Like, you see the complete difference of, like, Diana's power versus, like, her entire, like...
Her sisters?
Yeah, all of her sisters. And I know that Steppenwolf basically, like, points it out, like, multiple times. But, like, you have the blood of the old gods, whatever. And it was just so nice to see that back to back. And, like, you didn't start with some random, like, Batman trying to figure out what the fuck the insect aliens were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that scene was so stupid. It didn't make sense why that was there.
They had to introduce the insects somehow.
Yeah, but I love the fact that they actually explain what the hell they are, too.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense. I'm like, what are parademons? They just keep saying this word. What is a parademon? Oh, people from the planets that he has corrupted.
No, but they explained that in the first Justice League.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
When? I don't remember that at all.
It's, I think, when Diana and Bruce are walking alongside the river or whatever, and she's explaining things, but at some point,
that was such a bad explanation scene.
I know.
Like, they did such a better job, and also, I love the fact that they show how she gathers this information. Like, she goes into that one cavern, and then they show the whole, like...
Okay, see...
Like, story on the walls. I'm like, that was interesting.
That's a negative point for me.
Was it?
Yeah, that's a
Was it the fact that she jumped down in heels? I'm like, hey, she is Wonder Woman, so...
I mean, 90% of her films, she's in heels. Like, even in Wonder Woman 84. My problem with that scene is that that lingered for far too long without any dialogue. There should have been, like, her translating the stuff on the walls or something.
Fair enough.
It's not... It wasn't dynamic at all. Like, she just walks in, and then she just looks at it, and then, like, later on, she explains everything to Bruce. So I'm like, this did not need to be here. At least for me.
I actually kind of liked it, where it's like, we're piecing it together at the same time she is. So, kind of going back to, like, the whole show don't tell, they're showing us the stuff on the wall. It's like, if you didn't really gather it all now, here's the fun story with the giant battle scene, too.
Like, that's the thing, though. Like, I wish she, like, started reading something, or... I don't know. We're in modern day. Like, take photos or something, Diana.
So, I think the issue with that would have been if she was explaining it as she was reading, we would have two explanation scenes.
Right.
Which, at that point...
Then that's useless.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing, though. For me, like, I appreciate that scene being there because she is gathering information, but I just don't think that if you're gonna go maybe two scenes later and explaining, that's a waste of time for me. Like, you're not saying anything. Like, it's quiet moments like that in a film like this that didn't work for me. I think this is the only other, like, quiet scene, but yeah.
There's a few scenes where it could have been picked up a little bit faster. Like, even in the very beginning with Bruce going over the mountains on the horse. I'm like, that was a really long scene. Didn't really understand why we needed so many establishing shots with that one, but whatever. Fine. Like I said, there wasn't much in this movie that I really didn't like. To the point where I was debating rewatching this again today.
Wow.
Just for fun.
Wow.
I'm in that mindset where, like, I want to watch this again. I really do. Because it was that good of a film. So, I mean, good job. What they did.
Oh, yeah. Again, truly the magic of editing.
Oh, for sure. And I really liked Flash's intro scene. That was really fun.
Which one was his intro scene? Oh, is it the dog?
When he was, yeah, with the dogs. Yeah.
That was fun.
So, like, A, they took out one of your fun scenes with him drawing on the guy's face.
Oh, I don't care. That's
fine.
Which is
fine. Like, yeah. With him with the dogs, I thought that was really fun. I don't know why. I'm just like, I appreciate this. And also, remembering the original trailer to Justice League, that scene of him going through the glass. Like, when we watched the Whedon version, we're like, what happened to that scene where he's going through glass? Now we got it. So I'm like, I was curious when that comes into play, and it did right away. I'm like, okay, cool. That was fun.
Yeah. I think that's a stronger introduction for Barry than, you know, like a joking manner, because they did change him from being like the butt of the jokes to being like a little bit more same tone. Obviously, he's still the kid, but like, I can appreciate this version of Barry more. And after watching this film, I'm more excited to see the Flash film.
Oh yeah, hands down. He was a lot more compelling in this film. Although my bad point with this movie has to deal with one of the intros.
Ooh.
Was not the biggest fan of cyborgs.
Oh.
I don't know why. All that stuff was a little bit necessary in terms of like how he taps into the network and all these other things. And it sets you up for the final scene when they're taking apart the mother boxes, where he's going to tap into that. But we need extra power. So here comes Barry, which I will get to that much later. But for some reason, it was a little bit of like what you chimed in with like you're telling us instead of showing us. So like there's a lot of explanation there. But at the same time, like, why are we focusing it on him basically peeping Tomming on this one mother struggling to get money?
This is, I think, the version of they added, like, a family that we needed to, like, pay attention to. But I'm glad that they put it at the top of the film instead of, like, a thread for, like, the last two acts.
Exactly. And also the fact that it was really just in that one scene. We got the start of it, we got the problem, we got the resolution, and it was over.
Yeah.
They never went back to that family again for the sake of, I didn't think that needed to happen.
Yeah.
So like that one, I'm just like, I wasn't the biggest fan of it, but also they're showing all these opening scenes with Cyborg. I'm like, a lot of these scenes just raise a lot of alarms. This was the one spot that had a lot of plot holes for me. Whereas like he is literally hugging the mother box. How are they not finding him?
Yeah.
Oh, he has the scent. I'm like, it is on him. He has it in hand.
That's the logistical problem.
He was made from the mother box. Shouldn't he be the one with the strongest scent?
Also, it's in his closet.
Yeah. I mean, they go to his apartment later on when the dad is there, but how did you not get there when he was there?
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. So that just didn't make sense to me. That whole thing just was very confusing. I mean, them saying like, oh, they can't find the mother box until it's activated. I will give you that. That's fine. But he has literally been in contact / been made from this device.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is he not constantly under attack? And then that's how he runs into the group. I think that would have been a little bit stronger.
I think so too. But in terms of like how that worked for this version of the editing of the film, I think that it just has to be an oversight.
If this is the one thing I have a problem with of this film, I'm like, you know what? I'll take it on the chin. The rest of the movie is fantastic. I don't care. I mean, I kind of care, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure you do.
I do care, but I will forgive this part. It's fine.
Okay.
But yeah, that's literally my only bad point. Aside from hit with the Nightcrawler again, I still found that scene really weird. I'm like, why did you just fly away?
Okay.
This doesn't make sense. Whatever. I'm done.
Okay, so I technically have 3 bad points.
Oh.
I realized that I looked at this wrong.
All right. We still didn't get into the rest of our 3 good and 3, but it's fine. Long story short, they fixed all of our problems. I'll get into the Steppenwolf thing later because that's part of one of my really good points. I will give you that one.
Okay.
Go ahead. What were you bad points from this movie?
Okay, so the logistics thing that I was telling you. This is so tiny. This could be an honorable mention.
I want to know what this is.
Okay, so this is so tiny. The logistics problem that I had was, how did Diana get to Greece from France in seemingly like 2 hours? Is that possible?
Train.
In 2 hours?
I'm going to Google that right now. This will be my Google.
That's fine. You can do that. But it feels like she got to Greece in the same day. And I'm like, I feel like they're not that close. They might be that close.
2 hours to fly from France to Greece.
Okay, so she has
2 hours.
Money. All right, that's not. I was just like, that felt a little fantastical because I was just like, what the fuck?
I mean, like, me and my friend wanted to take a train from, like, Italy to Amsterdam and, like, just go straight up. So, like, I know, like, a lot of Europe you can take by train. I didn't think they were close enough to be there in 2 hours, so I wanted to look this up. But, yeah, to fly from France to Greece, it does take 2 hours.
Oh, that's not that bad. That's literally the train that I took from London to Paris. So that was like my iffy thing that I was like, she did that too fast. It felt weird for me.
Yeah, I'm not a geography buff. I mean, I at least know there's 7 continents. I know certain things were like basic geography of where things should be. Like if you tell me a country, I'm like, I could possibly guess where it's from. In terms of distance between two, I agree. That's a little bit tougher to figure out.
Yeah.
But it's not like the whole DC to Cairo problem we had in Wonder Woman 84. This one was okay.
Yeah, this one made more sense, but also at the same time, the problem before it came back where they take the plane from the Batcave and then go to Russia immediately too. So they get there in seemingly what felt like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I think they have.
Did they just go over like the North Pole?
I don't know. It was still one of those things of like Cyborg helped the logistics of it.
He just made it go faster.
I guess so. I don't know. I'm trying to think of that one part too. It's like, I know he helped fix the plane, like before they couldn't get it to fly.
Right. Did they explain like how fast that is supposed to travel?
I don't think they did.
All right. So that's like, I guess a little bit of a nitpicky thing for me.
I'll let you know my rewatch.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
We can talk about it next teaser. Not a big deal.
Okay. That's fine. That's one, like, 1.5 logistic problem.
So the flying logistics, the travel logistics of things.
it's the same thing with Batman too for me, where I was just like, I mean, you have a plane, but that's still like, what is the relative distance to all these places that you were traveling from?
So I did look this up, where it's like Metropolis and Gotham City are apparently really close together, like at least in terms of this universe. It looks like it's like Jersey to New York distance.
Are they supposed to be like literally like Jersey City, Hoboken, and Manhattan?
I believe that's at least Metropolis and Gotham City.
Okay.
Central City is somewhere in the Midwest. I think like somewhere in like Ohio, Illinois, or something like that. Flight-wise, that's a couple hours.
Yes, New York to Chicago is like 2.
Yeah, so there you go. Even if they say 3-hour flight, he's got a private jet, probably can go a little bit faster. We'll give them 2-hour timestamp between the two. Cyborg is in Gotham City, I believe. Aquaman, he's Aquaman. He can swim super fast.
He's in Iceland, though.
Yeah, that's still North America, so.
No, it's not North America.
It's part of North America.
Is it? I thought it was, like, separate from... I thought it wasn't part of North America.
Yeah, because it's, like, it's northeast of Canada, right?
Maps have, like, betrayed me, and I don't know if that's, like, closer to here or, like, more central.
I got it. Wait, what?
It's a country in Europe!
It's Europe? No way. Where is Iceland?
It's closer to Norway.
Oh, wow. That is so much further away than I thought
it was. Are you thinking of Greenland?
I thought... it was, like, between Canada and Greenland.
No.
I was completely wrong. Okay, never mind. I already said I'm not great at geography. I'm gonna fuck.
You can start with, I'm not great at geography. Of course
Iceland. I am not great at geography. I would not have guessed that Iceland is that far away. I learned something today. Fantastic.
All right. Oh, my God. Should I continue bad points, or, like...
where were we with this whole... oh, no. Geographically, where everyone was.
Yes.
That's how we got to Iceland.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, continue your bad points. I'm curious what you got. You already heard my one.
All right. I like how you only had one. Okay, so this, like, pained me every time it came up. I really hate that they overused Diana's, like, ancestral music. It was so annoying. They put it in every time she did something.
That didn't bug me. It wasn't the best music, though, but it didn't bother me. At least it wasn't super racist, like freaking 16 Candles, Long Duk Dong.
All right, that's completely different.
That's something completely different.
But, like, the reason why I think that audio cue just bothered me is just because it was just so jarring against everything else tonally in the film.
Oh, yeah, you always had that one, like, chanter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how you want to say that.
I watched it with closed captions, and I just... can't remember what it is.
Yeah, you had like that vocalist who would always come in and it was just like
the same note or similar note,
or yeah, they could have been playing the same part every time. I don't know, but I remember you said one of your good points from the first one was you really like the music cues.
Yeah.
So for this to bug you in this one, that makes more sense for you.
Yeah. They also changed the music, I realized, when Arthur was drinking and going on the pier. They went for an interesting change, and I'm like, you know what? Here's the thing. At the time of watching where it was in the film, I was like, oh, they didn't use White Stripes. I'm a little upset. But as the movie continued, I was like, no, this makes more sense for him as a character, because Arthur, by the time we get to, like, the table fight, and Cyborg has to be the savior of sorts afterwards.
The table fight? What do you mean?
They didn't have a fight. You remember how in the 2017, they have, like, the argument talking about the box?
Oh.
So, yeah, by the time they get to that scene, and then Cyborg figures out, this is my mission, I have to, like, do the thing to stop the Unity, and Arthur's like, I never said so-and-so to Barry. I was like, oh, his demeanor has completely changed. And it's great, because I think that it makes more sense. Like, that I wasn't too mad about. But for this film with, like, Diana, I did think that they set her up great as, like, a hero and a leader. They did that great. But I just absolutely could not stand these music cues, because it took me out of the moment, because I'm like, what is happening? And then I think towards the end of the film, where, like, it's the big three fight versus Steppenwolf, it's her music. And then they just kind of went into the Justice League theme, and it didn't really, like, mesh well with me. Like, it didn't make it seem like, oh, they're, like, united now as a music cue.
I mean, I guess I really don't have an ear for those kinds of things, because that didn't trigger in my head at all. I was still kind of piecing things together, because one thing I realized with the final fight was some of the shots were exactly the same. They changed the CGI around it to give it different context.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, one of the things that I remember from the first one was, like, she does this big run up a wall, leap, and slash attack, right? And the first one, that was her breaking his axe. But by the time they used it in this one, it was already broken. I'm like, oh, they're using this thing again. Oh, you use it to cut his head off. Dope. That was solid. I mean, that was pretty much insult to injury, considering that he was probably already dead. Maybe already dead. I don't know.
Yeah, but I thought it was cool.
Hey, rule two of Zombieland, double tap. He might have been stabbed in the chest. He could have survived. We're making sure he's not. Let's cut his head off.
Legit.
Good job.
I love that part, too, because it was so cool to see Darkseid step on his head.
Yeah.
Insult to injury there.
You have no idea how much better it was to have Darkseid in there. Now we understand a little bit more of like, okay, who is teleporting him back and forth? Oh, it's the guy he's talking to and checking in with every other scene we see him in.
Yeah.
Good. Now we have context. Now we understand what's going on. So, like, that was completely fixed. And to know that you have another big bad ahead of you was such a good move. Like, equivalent of what we had at the MCU. It's like, okay, you gave us their Thanos. Mm-hmm.
It's a good introduction. And it was well threaded that, like, oh, they built up Darkseid enough for me to be like, oh no, he's coming.
Oh, actually, oh shit, I do have one more bad point.
Okay, I have one more bad point. All right, so here. If you want to go in.
You go ahead.
Oh, me first? Okay, I said this at the end of last episode that I'm going to be paying attention more to the CGI. I really did not love the look still in this film.
Really? Okay.
This is so mean because I stayed until the credits to see who are the people
in charge of
the
CGI.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me actually like look at my notes again because it's disappointing and I'm going to...
Which is odd. Like, I didn't see too many bad things about this one. I thought they did a fine job in that department. So, as you're looking that up, what specifically about the CGI bugged you?
It's always things like Diana showing her powers wasn't that great at the very beginning. She looked like they were just taking out frames every 2 seconds. And that's how fast she was going. And I don't know, there's just something about the look of this film that really makes it not look real. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm biased to the MCU, but like their CGI is nearly seamless. Like, I'm still shocked that in Endgame, all of their suits during the scene where they're all walking, like they're not real. I had to learn that afterwards that they were in their like regular costumes and then they just put it later. And that's a moving scene. I guess that's my bias coming in, where it's like, because I'm used to seeing something so seamless like that, going to something like DC where they are very CGI reliant, it doesn't look right to me, and it's just troublesome. And hold on, I have to actually look up who does the CGI.
Yeah, look up who it was, because I didn't really see too much bad about this one. Nothing was super jarring to me in terms of like something looked off CGI wise. I thought they did a really good job in terms of that. Even like the slowed up or like the speed up moments of like, we need to show that this person's moving super fast, like the Flash moving super fast, or still that one scene with him against Superman, that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was interesting that they did a different move. We're like, Flash going super fast, we're gonna make him in slow-mo and everything looks like a little bit different, right? With her going super fast, we're just gonna have her super sped up. So I guess that might've just been like a weird contrast. I mean, hey, we got two different heroes, we gotta show them in two different ways. I'm okay with that.
It's still, I don't know, really just to pinpoint it, it's just such a weird look for me. I don't know. And I'm trying to think of like, are they going for hyper-realism? And the only other hyper-realism that I can like think about is Kingsman, outside of like a Marvel movie. And Kingsman kind of works because it's a flow of the camera. I think it's cinematography that works with it. But like for this film, it feels like very still. They're not really moving. They're not doing pan shots. I don't see anything other than like straightforward most of the time. I actually realize that they do multiple visual effects people.
I'm sure they do. I think every big movie has to. Like, you can't rely on one company to do all the work for you. Like, it's a multiple person project, so.
Okay. The one that, like, threw me for a loop that actually worked on this film was, I'm gonna butcher this, and I'm so sorry, Weta Workshop, who does Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And the reason why I, like, was a little bit shocked by that is because they also work on, like, Avengers movies. They worked on Endgame, they do all of that stuff, and I think yesterday, post-watching and thinking about it, I was like, oh, like, they literally are working on things like Falcon and Winter Soldier, but, like, it's still frustrating that, like, again, comparing the two big-name comic book franchises, it's like, why is the work for one looking like this versus the other one looking like this, for me?
I don't know.
I think that's just DC's thing.
Again, for me, like, I really didn't see anything that was too jarring. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna watch it again tomorrow, probably. Like, I really am. I'm very curious.
I mean, it's 4 hours. It's not that bad.
It really wasn't. Like, it moved insanely well. I think it moved very well. It did. Especially, like, you fixed the plot holes. It was a lot cleaner in terms of storytelling from point A to point B. Like, I think that was the big thing, like you said before. Like, some scenes were very disjointed. We're like, how did we get from this to this? I don't understand where we're going from it. Why'd you went from here to here? Which was one of my problems with one of the things that Cyborg did was, like, okay, he's gonna bury the mother box at his gravesite. That was a really random scene. And then he goes off and flies out of the Nightcrawler again. Like, that tunnel's still flooding. He's like, I think we're safe. I'm gonna leave you here, fly and get the mother box and come back. That seemed really odd to do.
His motivations there, like, confused me. Yeah. Both in 2017's and this, because truly, like, that machine could have fallen and then just, like,
exactly.
Is Arthur supposed to save them drowning?
He definitely could have, so it's not a big deal. It's like, I think you're safe. That part seemed a little bothersome. My thing that I said before, in that if there is a scene that feels like it doesn't have to be there, it was going to be troublesome. And there was one that was problematic. Ooh. For me. Bruce's dream sequence at the end.
Oh.
Like, literally post-apocalyptic moment where it's him, Cyborg, older Barry Allen, Mara, Deathstroke, and the Joker. The thing is, one, logistically, he's never met Mara or Deathstroke yet.
Right.
So how are they in this dream sequence?
Okay. So I rewound that scene because I was like, wait a second. Why did we get from the boat with Lex Luthor and Deathstroke
to this?
There was no transition. I would think that they would put the epilogue thing there.
It was an epilogue. Okay.
No. Like, I'm wondering if it would be like, here's our post-credit scene, which would be the Lex Luthor Deathstroke scene, and then, like, at the very end of the credits, it would be Bruce's dream.
That is a super long scene for it to be a post-credit. Still, like, that seemed a little bit messy at that point.
You want to know why I'm pretty sure Zack Snyder put that in there? It is to make everyone upset that we do not get the Snyderverse.
Yeah.
I think that's the only reason why. I feel like creatively, it wasn't put in well, but, like, to tell the story that he wanted, he had to share this because there was so much more in the vision, and, like, maybe he fought to get it in the thing.
Yeah. Like, if that scene was in a different movie, or, again, logistically, I'm like, how do you know these two people? You never met Mara, you never met Deathstroke, or I don't think you have, because Deathstroke, literally the scene before, just found out who you were as a person. So how are you thinking about this guy? We have never seen you before. How is this happening?
Do you know how long between the end, I guess, and where this apocalypse scene is supposed to happen? Like, what is the timeline?
No idea. But again, that's just a dream sequence. That's the thing. But it also looks very similar to the apocalyptic scenes that Cyborg saw when they were initiating the mother box.
Right.
Which was an interesting move. Oh, there's actually no, that's just one other thing that bugged me.
You just keep finding things to bug me.
I could have sworn. So my whole thing before was like, there was a thing that's gonna happen in this movie, and I'm very excited for it. It didn't happen.
Ooh, yes.
I could have sworn it was there, or that it should have been there, but it wasn't. So, like, I knew about the dream sequence going into it, right? And I knew, like, when he was having this conversation with Mara, when he was having the conversation with Deathstroke, I knew this was the dream sequence. He's going to wake up and he's going to talk to someone. I thought he was going to talk to a Green Lantern, not Martian Manhunter.
Oh.
And the thing is, they put a Green Lantern in there twice. In the old battle with the old gods and all that stuff, you have a Green Lantern there. You also have one in Cyborg's apocalyptic dream. He's dead on the ground as we see Superman holding Batman's cowl. So in two scenes, we see a Green Lantern, but we don't see one ever alive, pretty much. So, like, what happened here? Did you not have, like, the rights to put in a character Green Lantern, just a random body? Is that why? Like, I don't know, but I was very upset about that. But the fact that we still got Martian freaking Manhunter, that was dope. That was the scene that I paused at, like, right at the end. I'm like, holy shit.
You have to explain your excitement for that, because my memory of, like, Justice League is, like, so
abysmal. I just didn't see that coming. So, like, from the cartoon, Justice League the cartoon, he was one of their crew. So it was, like, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Hawkgirl, John Stewart Green Lantern, The Flash, and then John Jones, the Martian Manhunter. That was their original seven.
Oh.
In that cartoon version of the Justice League, he was part of their seven. So for him to come in, and I was like, we don't have a Green Lantern, but we got Cyborg. But here's your seventh member. We have almost the whole team, except we just need Hawkgirl.
Right.
And we got them all. Like, good, we're almost there.
We're doing Pokemon. Gotta catch them all.
Actually, am I missing someone? Hold on. Like, did I count wrong?
I feel like there's more.
No, there's definitely more. They add people so much. It's like the Avengers. They can add more people constantly.
Right. No, 100%.
Like, they set up another guy, Adam, the Asian scientist, who, like, now everything's left to him now that Victor's dad passed away. He's technically a hero. He's technically Adam. Like, A-T-O-M, not Adam, like, A-D-A-M. Oh, because he was in the Arrowverse. Oh, God. He was played by Brendan Routh, who was already Superman in another franchise, so that's besides the point.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a second, Brendan Routh?
Brendan Routh was Superman, but he was also the Atom in one of the TV shows.
You know what? I can forgive this because of Chris Evans. That's it.
Yep, so there we go. But no, I could have sworn we were supposed to get a Green Lantern in this movie, but we didn't. It's okay, but that whole dream sequence with Batman was interesting just for the sake of they chimed in on something from Batman v Superman.
Right. I remember you said you watched that right before this.
So, like, the Joker was talking about, like, oh, yeah, he's lost a lot of loved ones. Like, his parents. And they mentioned the whole thing about the Boy Wonder coming to do a man's job. There's a whole thing in Batman v Superman where you see a spray-painted Robin suit. And we know what happens in the comics where, like, Jason Todd gets his head smashed in by the Joker. So I'm like, oh my God, they're referencing that. So he's referencing that again. Like, that whole concept was intriguing. But the fact we're going to get nothing of it, I'm just like, I'm a little annoyed by that. It's kind of like what you said. It's like, here's what could have been, guys. But they fucked us. So you get none of it.
Yeah. I'm wondering, because we finally got the Snyder Cut, is there a possibility that
we can continue the Snyderverse? Yeah, I'm really hoping.
I'm not hopeful because, obviously, contracts. That's really it. Contracts with everyone, the redoing Batman. Which Joker are we following? Like, are they bringing back Joaquin Phoenix?
No, I think that Joker is completely separate from everything else.
Is that separate?
But Okay. Unless it's one of those things where they're doing, like, a Batman Beyond, do we know that Rob Pattinson is Bruce Wayne? Is he definitely Bruce Wayne, or is he just Batman?
That's a great question. I've not been looking into this. I like going into these movies so blind.
Yeah. I don't know. I already used my Google, so we shall find out another time.
Different Google time.
Unfortunately. But yeah, I'm very curious if we can get more from this universe, because there's a lot left. There's a lot they can give us. There's a lot that they left open from this movie. So I'm just like, we should get more. I feel like we should get more. I feel like it'd be a stupid... Actually, I'm just going to read the text I sent my friend.
Okay.
I think I phrased it well before. Them doing the whole Whedon thing was a huge misstep. The fact that, A, you already had enough footage to do the Snyder Cut. Why did he have to bring in another guy to do it and do a bunch of reshoots? His explanation was they wanted to Avengerize it, essentially.
Oh, of course.
So let's actually bring in the guy who did the Avengers to do so. But it was a huge misstep.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, things can be dark and serious, but as long as you set it up properly and actually give us a clear plot, then they're fine. Like, I'd love to see more of this. There's so much left open-ended that if they don't continue the story, I'd be shocked. Like, not only did you waste money with Whedon, but now you're going to be losing money on stuff that people want to see in terms of the Snyderverse.
Okay, so to my knowledge, they are not doing any more led by Snyder. So I don't think we're going to do Snyder Cut. The only thing that they could potentially do is extend the storyline into The Flash. And that's it. And, like, maybe we'll get an ending in The Flash.
I mean, we still have another Wonder Woman on deck. We still have another Aquaman on deck.
We do?
Yeah, we do. Because I'm pretty sure, like, a week or two ago, they just released that they let go of Amber Heard from that film.
Right.
I'm still pulling for Emilia Clarke. That'd be dope. I haven't seen the memes. I'm like, that is perfect. Do it. Bring back Khaleesi and Khal Drogo.
Oh, my God.
Do it. It means nothing to you because you haven't watched Game of Thrones, but it means something to me.
I literally have only seen season 4, and that's it. I don't care.
Yeah, he died in season 1. Spoilers.
Did he? I thought he died in season 2. I don't know why. I was like, this is how much I don't know about Game of Thrones. I thought he had, like, a longer tenure on Game of Thrones.
No, I'm pretty sure he died in 1.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, I mean...
Somebody else fact check that, because, again, I've only seen 4.
Yeah, we're both out of our Googles. You Googled the CGI, I Googled France to Greece.
Yeah.
That was a wasted of a...
That's okay.
I mean, it wasn't a waste at the time, but unfortunately, can't continue. But how about this? Is there anything else, like, really big that you liked about this
movie? That I liked about it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's get to some of the good stuff. Okay. Like, we talked about some bad from both of us.
Okay. I'm just going to compound this into just, like, one statement. All of the characters definitely were fleshed out more. Obviously, timing is a thing, but I truly understood more about Lois Lane in this film. And I also really appreciated Alfred more in this film. I guess, like, the first time I watched 2017, I was like, Alfred's just gonna be the butler dude. That's it. Like, that's his character. But, like, in this film, what I really appreciate about him is that you see him working on, like, stuff for Batman more.
He's actually the guy in the chair. He's not just, like, the helper. Like, he is the tech guy. He is the straight-up tech dude.
Yeah. The fact that we see him excited over something he made was probably truly such a sweet moment in, like, the nerdiest way. Like, I love that because I was like, he it's did like, a thing.
Us as cosplayers, he's like, I made something that works!
Yeah, that's literally, I think that's what it is.
It's like, this worked the way I thought it would. Hooray!
I didn't burn anything down.
Mm-hmm. Yup. Like, hey, Jeremy Irons was already one of my favorite things from the Whedon one. Like, he was just really good in this one, too. Like, still had that same level of snarky. His lines were a little bit less, like, punchy.
Yeah.
But it was still good. It was still fun. He still gave, like, a little bit of levity in certain scenes and stuff like that. So I'm good with this.
I guess, like, everyone's character in this film felt more real. I felt like there were more stakes with everyone versus like 2017, where everyone's just like, so Batman just wants to do this thing. We're not, I don't know if I want to be here or not.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they fixed that problem for you, where it was like there wasn't something to bring them all together, they literally had a scene. It's like, are we on the same page? Someone say it, because I don't want to say it and sound weird.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I'm just going to do a holographic thing of Superman. And everyone's like giving them each other, like, it's a subtle nod. I'm like, good. Fucking they all want finally. Him back.
Fucking
I mean, granted, like, they also had, like, Aquaman later on being like, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea, guys. And then Cyborg, he sees that apocalyptic thing, and he's like, oh shit, this can go really wrong really quick. And the thing is, unless we get another Justice League, we don't get to see where this goes.
I just don't think we're gonna get a Joby.
Where it goes.
You're just gonna keep getting so upset about this. I just don't think it's gonna happen.
I am. This is like when you have a really good TV show and they cancel after one season type thing.
That's the thing, though. It's so strong. The content is so good. But it's all the behind-the-scenes stuff that cause it to, like, fail miserably. So you can blame Warner Brothers on this for truly messing this up. Okay, so I have one question for you. I remember this specifically, that you mentioned that they didn't use enough of J.K. Simmons. What did you think about their use of J.K. Simmons in this film? Because I have
opinion. It was the same amount.
Yeah. Okay.
Exact same amount, except for he had an extra scene of him getting his memos. That was it. There was no added scene with J.K. Simmons. At the same time, the way that the story progressed, I understand it didn't need to be there. So the thing is, with the first Justice League, Batman was really kind of at the forefront of all these things. He's making the decisions. They're kind of going along with just his plans. With this one, it felt a lot more like a group. So we don't need to deep dive into one person's life and, like, the characters in their universe. We don't need to do that. We can get a little bit from them. We can touch base on them a little bit. But it's not a necessary move. Like, same time, like, I love Willem Dafoe. You had that one or two scenes with him, and that was all you got. That was all you needed, though.
Yeah.
Which was fine. And knowing what we got in this one and knowing what is in Aquaman, it makes sense why it's only that amount. So, like, if we had another Ben Affleck Batman movie, that's when we'll see a little more J.K. Simmons, and that would have made a lot more sense there. Here, it didn't need to happen. As much as I would like to see more of him because he's a good actor, it's fine with what they did. Because at the same time, we got more Jeremy Irons, so I'm like, we're still good. It's okay.
I don't know. I wasn't particularly, like, I think I'm in the middle road, where I'm like, that's enough J.K. Simmons because we can't introduce another character that we have to get attached to.
Yeah, I think they did a fine job in this one. Okay. In terms of the amount of camera time each character got, especially if you're kind of a minor character. In this movie, he's a very minor character.
Yeah.
I think he got, like, maybe just, like, a shade less camera time than Diane Lane.
Yeah.
Like, him and Willem Dafoe got equivalent camera time, which is completely fine. I think, again, going back to the dream sequence, that was way too much time. It's like, okay, guys, we gotta move. He's coming. We gotta get out of here. And you spent so much time talking to the Joker. How are none of you being like, guys, let's talk about this somewhere else?
That was a waste of time.
Yeah. And the fact that it was also a dream literally means nothing to us. Like, it doesn't matter, essentially.
This just makes me think Bruce is, like, a fucking psychic of some sort. Like, he just can see into the future and that's it.
Yeah, which was, that was a weird thing. If that was a scene for, like, Cyborg, to have him have the dream sequence,
yeah, that would make so much
more sense. Would have made more sense, because he already had that kind of vision before in the Kryptonian ship.
Here's the thing, though. Is it because they're threading it to Batman v Superman versus, like, this film? Like, I'm wondering if it, like, in the Snyderverse, like, what would the next film have been? If the next film was like a Batman film, that's a good lead into the Batman film.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know what was next on the docket for them. I don't know if there was more Ben Affleck ones.
I think there are. I think I'm wrong in thinking that Ben Affleck is gone forever, but I'm concerned.
I think it's one of those things that the fact we already have another one that is filming.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know if it's already in post-production. It's honestly safe to assume that he's done. Unless this is a different universe where...
That doesn't make sense. That's like pissing me off.
It doesn't make sense, and it does. Where you had, like, the Dark Knight had nothing to do with this universe.
No, but I don't know. I'm frustrated because they want to keep doing like a dark and edgy Batman, and I think they've already achieved it well in The Dark Knight. Hilariously, I also noticed that, what is this man's name? The director of the Dark Knight series, what is his name?
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan is a producer on the Justice League film. So, like, he funded this film. And I'm like, he has the power to, like, say no or whatever. Like, he can veto whatever happens in production. But, like, I just think I'm over it just a little bit. Like, what they're trying to do.
Do in terms of what?
That they're doing all these, like, standalone films, but then also trying to build an entire, like, cinematic universe plus additional films. Where I'm like, pick one, please. Like, the amount of, like, knowledge that I have to learn is so much, and my brain capacity is, like, so
little. So that's literally the problem we ran into in terms of what we got with Justice League the first time,
mm-hmm.
where it's a catch-up game. We saw what the MCU did. They put their ducks in a row, and I'm kind of curious, and I don't think there is one. I don't think the DCEU has a Kevin Feige.
Interesting.
I think that's what the big problem is.
There's no big picture. Like, there's no phases.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Kevin Feige has, like, the big picture, the multiple phases of, like, we're gonna do X, Y, and Z here, we're gonna do A, B, and C here, we're gonna put it all together in 1, 2, and 3. They have that oversight of different stuff. Like, I remember listening to a podcast with the Russo brothers when they were talking about writing and creating Civil War. And apparently, one day, they're in the writer's room, and then Kevin Feige knocks on the door, and he goes, hey, guys, something you need to put into the movie? Thwip, thwip. And just walks away. And he's like, oh shit, we got Spider-Man. So, like, again, like, they're building things on top of each other, but then there's some person overseeing all of it.
Right.
I don't think that the DCEU has that.
I agree, because I feel like everything's disjointed.
Screw it. I'm going to make it another Google. That's right. Fine. I gotta know now.
Who is the Kevin Feige of Warner Brothers?
Literally, that is one of the searches. Who is the Kevin Feige of DC?
Okay, before you actually answer that question, there was a hilarious, like, Marvel Studio spoiler thread, I think, of, like, them thinking in the multiverse Kevin Feige did not produce Marvel. He went to DC, and people tried to figure out what the flow is for the DC universe.
What was that again? Say it again. I'm sorry, I was looking at something.
No, that's fine. There's a thread somewhere on Reddit where people were like, there's a version of the multiverse universe, whatever, where Kevin Feige is not under Marvel, but he produced the DCEU. There's a completely different timeline that somebody had made of what, like, the DCEU would look like under Kevin Feige.
Interesting. All right.
And I'm like, this hurts my brain, but, like, yeah, this is basically, like, if DreamWorks was the better studio versus Disney.
So
it was Kevin
with
Feige.
All the Justice League stuff, there wasn't one.
Okay.
Some people a few years ago were saying the closest thing we have to that is Zack Snyder.
Okay.
Which,
R.I.P. R.I.P. to the series.
If that's the case, then god damn it, why is it not him? Why is this not a thing? Now, this is from 2 years ago, that J.J. Abrams signed a massive deal with Warner Media. So if he's trying to write the ship now, okay, interesting.
Hold on. Who owns Star Trek?
Who owns it?
Like, who's the distributor for Star Trek?
Star Trek, I mean, it's all on Paramount right now, so CBS and Viacom. I guess. I don't really know.
Sorry, I asked that because J.J. Abrams, to me, is the person behind
Star Trek. No, he was the one behind the movies, yeah. But now, like, J.J. Abrams is the big name in there. Apparently James Gunn, because he's doing the Suicide Squad. I don't know if he's going to be part of it more than that.
Yeah, but James Gunn has switched back. Isn't he back for Guardians?
He is, because they realized how much they screwed up in letting him go.
Oh my god.
But he also was like, I need to finish this project before I jump back into bed with you guys. So who knows what's left on the docket there. Granted, he's got a few things coming down the pipeline. Like, they have a Christmas special, apparently, with the Guardians that is slated, and Guardians 3.
Isn't there, like, a separate, like, Groot thing?
I think there is. I don't know.
Okay. So now I'm curious if you have any lasting good thoughts. I have one more point that I want to bring up because I think it's fun.
Let's see. I think one thing I really did appreciate was they gave Steppenwolf a lot more time on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And it helped move the story along and also understand why the hell he's there. They actually gave him a plot.
That was one of my good points.
And I'm like, oh, this is a redemption arc. Good freaking job. But then also you're seeing how he's getting this information. Oh, you have that weird little spider thing that's like warping their minds. That's how you found out where that other mother box was, because it's in the freaking ocean. Like all this stuff, like the little things that they added here and there made so much more sense and gave us a fuller story.
This is a good, like, for you, that's what fixed the logistical problems.
Yeah, they fixed so many logistical problems in this movie. Like, they explained how he's getting teleported back. Like, to an extent, they didn't verbally say it. It's like, I will send you here, blah, 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 and I will retrieve you. Like, they didn't say that, but you can at least piece that together where he's checking in with another guy.
He doesn't, like, randomly, like, appear for no reason. That's it. But yeah, I'm gonna agree with that for sure.
Especially the final fight was so freaking good. Even, like, taking down the dome, right? In the Whedon version, he flies in, blast, 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 and he just breaks through the barrier. That. This one, he does a little bit of trial and error. He shoots it once, sees it regenerate. You're getting more firepower. I got it. Push another button, more rockets. Like, cool.
It's like a testing thing. Like, it's a human thing.
Yeah, exactly. So you gave us that bit, so good job. Because now it makes more sense how he knew he could definitely do this.
No, absolutely not. It's Batman. He has blind knowledge.
So, like, and that's the thing. Like, where all this information is coming from, they showed us how they put these things together. Well, although, like, the one thing they didn't explain, but we just kind of accepted it, because if you know some of the Flash's power, of like, oh, I can go to a certain speed where I can turn back time.
Yeah.
Like, they just kind of drop it. They show a little bit of that with the mother box, which I thought was really freaking interesting to do. And then you saw the bigger thing at the very end, where I'm like, dude, that was really cool. And also to have none of, let's say, the big four, like, power-wise, Superman, Aquaman, and Wonder Woman. They're handling Steppenwolf. They're clearing the path for them to get to the mother box in the first place. Batman is dealing with all the minions. Everyone is doing a thing. Everyone is important to an extent.
No useless Batman.
Exactly. No one was useless. Like, it finally showed, like, it wasn't just, oh, we need Superman. We definitely need Superman. Honestly, he helped. He helped a lot.
Superman, he was a game changer for both movies, but you felt that his entrance was more epic, I think, in this movie, because I wouldn't say, like, he brought the team together, but it was, like, more harmonious with him in it.
Yeah, like, it wasn't all just on his shoulders.
Right.
You know, I think that was the big thing.
He's not a catch-22. That's the thing.
It's either we don't have him and we're gonna lose, or we have him and we're definitely gonna win. Like, it just really helped. That was just the whole thing. Because they had a plan going into it, like, if we don't have Superman, there's still a chance this is gonna work, guys. It's like, maybe he had a 50% chance for this to work. He made it, like, a 90%. Because you realize, they almost lost. If not for the Flash, you definitely would have lost.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone had their part, and that was a really good thing to see. I was a little curious, though, in terms of that last bit of, like, oh, okay, no, they actually did explain it a little bit.
What last bit?
They explained it, and it was also a slight plot hole. They were just kind of setting up for the next one, where it's like, Darkseid opened the portal. They're staring face to face. He sees the mother boxes get destroyed, and he's like, you know what? Next time. Just closes the portal. We're going to plan something else. That was one of those things where I'm like, I kind of thought that he was just going to step through the portal and be like, that was the mini boss fight. Here's the big boss fight. Let's go. Like, but that would have been too much at that point.
That's the point where it's like, this is the mini series and that's next season.
Yeah. There we go. Good point. I was more so just curious as to what was really the final straw in that he's like, okay, no, we're just going to do it a different way.
They explain it though.
Yeah, they did a little bit. I remember them explaining it. I don't remember what it exactly was, but also, again, you just sat through about
4 hours,
3.5 hours worth of movie.
You know, I realize you're right, but I want to say that in terms of, like, a big fight, I feel like it's smart for him to not have gone in that moment because he wants to bring in all of his army. I feel like in that moment, in that room, that's like a quarter of his army.
Yeah, I think that was the explanation of this was plan A. Plan B is we're going to do it the quote-unquote old-fashioned way. Essentially speaking of how he tried to go there in the first place when it was like the old gods, Atlanteans, and that former fight we saw in the past, right? That was the old ways. He's going to just do a giant invasion army. So now we need to gather said army. So at that point, I'm like, okay, this is all right. I can forget that bit. But yeah, I know I said like more bad thing. Like I found more bad things in my head when I was starting to go through it. But again, I'm really ready to watch this again.
I know. Part of me is like, I think I'm like tuckered out. I think it's because I'm like more invested in watching like The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where I'm like, I kind of want this more because it is a very character driven show. And I think it's because they did the thing where it was like, we're going to piecemeal this for 6 weeks. So, you know,
wait.
I mean, I'm pissed. I don't like waiting. Screw that.
So just wait after 6 weeks, man.
No, because that's still waiting. That's why I'm glad this wasn't a miniseries, for the sake that we got the whole thing. Good.
All right, wait. I wonder how you would have felt if we had to do this week after week for a month.
I've been pissed. Because I'm thinking in my head, if you broke down each one piece by piece of like, here's part one, here's part two, it didn't have that big ending in all the parts. He basically just broke down the five-act movie. That was it. And that's completely fine. I didn't mind it. That wasn't a break or break thing. But if this came out in six different parts, nah.
No, they would have done the prologue part one and then part four epilogue. They're short
part
enough.
Part six epilogue.
Sorry, part six. Is it part six? Yeah. Part six epilogue.
Nah, I think they did the better job and just give us all in one shot. Because I think they reshot one scene. I don't remember what it was, but they did one reshoot.
I thought they did like two or three.
Apparently it was one scene. I think I remember reading it where it was Zack Snyder's wife, Deborah. So Deborah Snyder was in an interview. She was saying that they did a single reshoot for the Snyder cut.
Interesting.
So if it was one of those things where they were like, we're going to make this a miniseries and they needed to add an extra scene to be like, here's a little bit of a cliffhanger. Maybe that would have been part of a reshoots. I don't know, but I think they did a fine job doing this. Again, just give us more. Give us more of this. This is so good.
I'm disappointed that we're not going to get more because truly this is a good time.
In my head, I'm like, we also thought we would never see this version come out.
That's true.
And here we are. So I won't get my hopes up, but I'm also not going to completely shut the door on this one.
I am for the time being. I think Warner really messed up their relationship. And also the fact that whatever's going on with Ray Fisher is also like...
Oh, that's a whole other thing to deal with.
That's totally thrown out the window now.
Wait, can I also just add in one point that's like an additional... like honorable mention? This is the one scene that like I rewound.
Honorable mention, a good or bad thing?
Middle road. An honorable mention, honorable mention.
Interesting way to phrase that, but fine.
It's just an honorable mention that I just want to put in there.
I just thought this was really funny because this is the one scene that I had to like rewind like two times just to watch it. And I think this also may go into like CGI. Bruce injecting his seat during the destroyed car scene was just so fucking funny to me because he just looks so awkward.
What? No, I know what scene you're talking about, but I don't, again, like, you're seeing things that I'm not seeing.
It just seems so awkward. It's just so awkward. I just don't know.
What, like, was awkward?
I don't know. It just felt so out of character for me that you just see him launch up and he's just in the seat and I'm like, this is too humorous for this dark ass movie. It just felt like, for me, it seemed comedic, because I was like, oh my god, Batman's doing the thing. Like, a funny... For me, to be launched out of a seat like that, for some reason, is just comedic. And it just made it comical for me.
I think you're alone on this one. I don't know. I mean, I've seen that in movies plenty of times. You see anyone, you know, get jettisoned from a jet or anything like that, it's going to be with chair.
I know.
Because what is propelling you? It's not like you're going to have like a spring come out of the chair and launch you up in the air just yourself.
Batman is too good for that, I guess.
In that, something has to be pushed through that thing. So yeah, the chair is going to go with you and then you lose the chair later on. You just cut yourself away from it.
I guess. I don't know. It just felt weird for me.
As opposed to what? Like, what would you have changed about that scene to make it just not bother you?
I feel like that thing also was just one of those things where it's just lingering. I don't know. Because it's a superhero film, I'm like, oh, I kind of wanted it to be a little bit more seamless. I don't know why it didn't seem seamless, where I'm like, he could have just ejected himself out of the car, yes, but I don't think that they should have just skyrocketed him where it's like the whole picture and then like he's like this small on the screen. I don't know why, but I'm like, they went super wide on that shot, and it was very strange.
I'm going to go back and watch that scene again. There was no flags, good or bad, on that part. It was just, all right, you escaped a crashing car. The impressive part about that is the timing of your flipping at this point. So you timed it perfectly where you're right side up to get that trajectory out of there. We're talking about the one guy without the power.
No.
So nothing can be overly fantastical about that escape. It has to make sense for an actual human being.
I guess? I don't know. Part of me also feels like there's some mysticism in Batman, but I guess what they're really trying to go for in this version of Batman is that he's a guy with money, and that's it. You're right. I think that is the road, but for me, I feel like there's something about, like, the way that they're framing these heroes in this that I'm, like, kind of expecting more, but also at the same time, it just doesn't look right. But I don't know what it is about it. Like, something about DC look-wise bothers me.
I'm gonna go back and watch it. I'm very curious.
That is you? I don't think I'm gonna watch this.
I'm gonna watch this again tomorrow, most likely.
You're giving HBO Max so many streams. Well, with no other final thoughts on the Snyder Cut, if you have any additional thoughts about the Snyder Cut, feel free to get in touch with us on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter, either at MovieMasochists on Instagram or at @MovieMasochist_ on Twitter. This has been another great episode of the Movie Masochist podcast, where two friends try to find the fun in painful films. I have been Kim.
I have been Joby. See you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.